Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. If you've never attended in person, we'd love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 or 11:05 at 3105 Hampton Highway in Yorktown, Virginia. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Hey, good morning to you. That was pretty good. It might have been because this section was so loud that I didn't hear you guys back there. But the lights are on, so I can actually see you. So I want this to be an all play. And just in case you guys were quiet and they were really loud, I would like for all of us to say good morning at the same time. Okay, here we go. I'm going to say it to you, and then you repeat it to me. Good morning.
Good morning.
Man, that was so awesome. I'm so glad you guys are excited to be here and ready for a great, great service. Hey, if I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, my name is Rob, and I'm one of the pastors at Next Level. And if I haven't got a chance to meet you, I'd love to meet you after the service. I'll be hanging out in the lobby, and I'm so excited that you are here today. I know there's a lot of things that you could have been doing, and yet you chose to come to church. And so we really appreciate that. But here's something, though, that we believe. We don't believe that we have to go to church, and no one's making you go to church, and you know that. And going to church doesn't make God love you more. It doesn't make God pay attention to you or get excited about you. We don't believe that we have to go to church. We believe that we get to go to church. And I get excited to come to church every week to experience the presence of God, to experience Him through singing songs to Him, and by reading His Word. And so that's what we're going to do today. And today we're continuing our series that we kicked off last week. We kicked off a series entitled Wisdom, and last week our student pastor, Jacob Ray, kicked off the service. And I just want to say I thought he did an incredible job, and I really appreciate him kicking off the service. One person was about to clap. I interrupted you. Go ahead. I really appreciate him taking the talk so that I could get a little bit of rest in gearing up for Easter. And last week, in case you missed it, the main idea of the talk was simply this. If you want to gain wisdom, walk with wise people. If you want to gain wisdom, walk with wise people. And wisdom is something that is incredibly important. And last we talked about how wisdom starts with a relationship with God. It starts with honoring Him with your life and saying, hey, I'm going to fall under your authority. I'm going to try to live for you. That's where wisdom starts. But from there, if you want to gain wisdom, if you know how to make wise decisions, it's going to come by you living life and walking with other people that are wise. And I want to build on that today. I want to build on that by asking you a question. And before we get into that, I want to actually interact with you. I love that you're here, and I love that I get a chance to communicate with you, but what I really love more than even that is I love it when I get opportunities to communicate and you get to talk back. And so what we're going to do is I'm actually going to walk out there amongst the people. I'm going to hang out with you for a little bit, and some of you are going to get a chance to participate in the talk. And there's no catch here. There's nothing, no right answer. No, nothing's going to embarrass you at all, but here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you a question. The catch is that you're not going to know what the question is before you give me an answer. So specifically, I want you just to say whatever comes to your mind, and then whatever you say is going to be the answer to the question that I'm going to ask, okay? So it's going to be a lot of fun, and there is no pressure. You can't mess this up. So I'm just going to go through and look for people who really don't want to do this, and I can tell if you're looking down at your thumbs, it means you really don't want to do this. All right, first thing that comes to your mind, first thing.
Chipotle.
Chipotle, amen. All right, Chipotle. And the answer is, or the question is, things cannibals think while dining. Chipotle. That's what they think. They think Chipotle. All right, we're heading up here. All right, first thing that comes to your mind.
Turtles.
Turtles. And the question is, things dogs are actually saying when they bark. Turtle. All right, heading on through here. Look at people who will not make eye contact. Let's go to the cheap seat. And you guys are really back here today. My phone doesn't even work back here. All right, thing that comes to your mind?
Two.
42. Because his phone is king. I think I broke the mic walking back there. All right, 42. And the question is, things you should never put in your mouth. That's wisdom right there. All right, we're going to go over here. We got one more. I need a statement, something that is on your mind. You're not making eye contact. Give me first thing that comes to your mind.
School.
School. And the question is, things that shouldn't be made into video games. That is incredible. All right. Now, that is a fun game that was actually invented after we were playing a game called the Game of Things, if you've ever played it before. And I just reversed the Game of Things. And I just started asking people to tell me things, and then I would give them the answer to the question. And we laughed, and so I thought you might laugh, and so we experienced it. And it is really funny. It's funny to see the question after the answer. But isn't it frustrating if that's how you had to, like, take a test? It would be incredibly frustrating. If you had to write out answers, and then you saw the question afterwards, you would be like, this is the worst test ever. Like, I am so frustrated because even though it's kind of funny, these answers don't line up with these questions. If you want to get the right answer, you've got to ask the right question. And it's funny to play in a game. It is not funny to do in life. And so many of us in here live life the way that we just played that game. So many of us in here, we don't ask the question. We just make decisions. And then after the decision, then we start asking the question. And so many of us have stumbled through life. We just make decisions left or right. What feels good? What feels good in the moment? Is it okay? Is it right? Am I going to get caught? We just make decisions, and then we end up on the other side of that and say, what was I thinking? I shouldn't have done that. Why did I go there? And today, to start off, I want to give you a question that I think will radically change your life. It is a question that you need to ask first. You don't ask this question after you make decisions. You ask this question first. It is a question that I think would revolutionize our lives. It's a question that you need to ask before you spend your money. It's a question you need to ask before you hang out with someone. It's a question you need to ask before you eat something. It is a question that is incredibly important. And so, what is the question? I'm glad you asked. This is the question. The question is, what is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? That is a question that if you ask it, it has the potential to radically change your life. Now, the wise thing is very different than the smart thing. The wise thing is way better than even what is the lawful thing to do. The wise thing is the best question you can simply ask. In light of my past, what is the wise thing to do? In light of my current situation, where I'm living right now, what is the wise thing to do? In light of my future, my hopes and dreams, where I want to go, what is the wise thing to do? How much energy, time, passion, and money would we have saved if we asked this question before we made decisions? Wouldn't our life be radically different? No one goes into a marriage relationship thinking that one day I'm going to ruin this relationship by the way that I behave. No one jumps into it thinking that, but it happens. Why? Because we didn't ask the question before we jumped into a situation. Or what about with our finances? Nobody says, you know what, I'm going to get this credit card so that I can ruin my credit and I can just get into debt up to my eyeballs. I can't wait for that. No one does that. But what happens? We get into debt after the fact, and then we ask the question, why did I do this? What if we asked this question before we made any decisions in life? It would radically change. It would radically change us. Wisdom is what you need to be seeking after. Wisdom is something that really would radically change your life. And wisdom is not something that we talk about a lot, but the ancient Hebrew culture, which is the culture that we get what we call the Old Testament, the ancient Hebrew culture, they talked about wisdom a lot. And I love the way that they define wisdom. In the ancient Hebrew culture, wisdom is the art of skillful living. I love that. It is the best definition of wisdom I have ever heard. Wisdom is the art of skillful living. Wouldn't you like that to be said of you? I mean, just humor me for a second. I don't know if you ever get lost in YouTube. Like, you go to YouTube to watch one video, and then it suggests another video, and like 3 hours later go by, and you're like, man, what have I just done? Good, you're laughing because it's not just me. The times that I've gotten sucked into YouTube, like, I started going to look for like a specific video for a talk or a sermon, and I end up watching like professional hacky sackers, and I'm like, how did I end up here? But the thing is every time I go down that road and I watch these videos, I am drawn in by people who are incredibly skillful. Even like videos of like professional hacky sackers, like when I see them do it well, I'm like, I want to do that. I want to learn a hacky sack. And then I try and I'm like, I can't even lift my leg up that high. I can't do what they do. But isn't it true that when you are around someone who does something skillfully, it makes you say, I want to do that. If you go over to someone's house and they have mastered the art of cooking, what is one of the things that you say? You say, can I have this recipe? You've done this so good. I've had chicken a million places, but this chicken is different. Can I have the recipe? When we experience something skillful in life, We want to be a part of it. I do this all the time with sports. I don't know if you guys do this or not, but when I watch sports and I see someone that is incredibly skillful, in my mind, I automatically start thinking, I can do what they do. And then I get out on the basketball court and I'm like, no, I can't. Like, this is, why did I think that I could do what they did? They made it look so easy. Why? Because they are skillful. And wouldn't it be awesome if when people looked at your life, they said, man, you are so skillful at the art of living. Wouldn't it be awesome if when people looked at the way that you manage your finances, they said, man, everyone else is in debt. Everyone else is going crazy with their money. But you are different. You have mastered the art of living through your finances. Wouldn't it be really cool if when people hung out with you and saw the way that you interacted with other people and they said, man, there is something weird about you. It is different. Everyone else I know is filled with drama. Everyone else is fighting and backbiting and gossiping. But when I hang out with you, my relationship is different. Like you've mastered this art of living through relationships. Wouldn't it be awesome if when people looked at the way that you worked at your job, they said, man, you've mastered this. You work differently than other people. You run your company. You run your business differently. The way that you manage your kids and parent, you do things differently. You've mastered the art of living. Wouldn't it be incredible if people said that of us? And I would love to have people say that of me. But in order for people to say that of us, we've got to start asking the question, what is the wise thing to do? And we've got to ask the question before we make decisions, because if we don't, we're going to ask it on the other side, and on the other side is where we get hurt, pain, and disappointment. Here's the catch, though, with this. I think that most people in here know what the wise thing to do is, okay? I think that some of you, this might be an eye-opening question. Maybe you've never heard of this, you've never asked this, maybe you've never even thought about wisdom before. So some of you, you're like, okay, this is a game changer. I'm going to write that down. I'm going to tattoo it on my body. That may not be the wise thing to do. I just want to throw that out there. But that's where some of your brains went. Like, I'm going to remember that. If I tattoo it, what's the wise thing to do? Right there on my arm, I won't forget it. Okay, so that's where some of your brains went. And so some of you, that is great. But I just have a gut feeling that the vast majority of us in here already understand what the wise thing to do is. In fact, I think that most of us, if we were tested, we would say things like, I know I shouldn't do this, but I know this isn't the best purchase. I know this isn't the best relationship. I know I shouldn't go there, but I think that you already know, for the vast majority, I think most of us know what the wise thing to do is. In fact, I want to test you on this. I'm going to show you some images. And after I show you the image, I'm going to ask you a question. And after I ask you the question, I tell you what's going on. I just want you to shout out, is it wise or foolish, okay? So don't comment based off the picture. Wait till I ask you a question, because I'm convinced that you guys already know what is wise and what is foolish. So we're going to show some images. We got first image here, okay? Don't shout out anything. Just wait. This is a guy who is holding a girl's hand, and in between the hand holding is a girl putting her head on his shoulder. And so the question is it wise or foolish to date two people at once?
Foolish.
You guys are so wise. You nailed it. Look at you. All right, let's look at another picture. This is a picture of, this is how I found this picture. I did a Google search for the baddest man on the planet. I don't even know if people say bad anymore, but I pulled out my inner 1980s and I said, who is the baddest man on the planet? And the top image was Brock Lesnar. He's a former MMA fighter and now a professional wrestler. And wrestling is real, y'all, by the way. Brock Lesnar, even if you're not familiar with him, he looks like a bad dude, okay? Is it wise or foolish to tell Brock Lesnar to his face that he's a wimp? Wise or foolish? You guys are so wise. This is incredible. Look how good you are. All right, we got one more. One more picture. Okay, this is an extra large bean burrito, not from Chipotle, but from Taco Bell. Okay, Taco Bell. This is, yeah, some of you don't even know the question. You know it's foolish. Okay, here's the question. Here's the question for you, though. Is it wise or foolish to eat an extra large bean burrito from Taco Bell before you take a long cross-country flight? Wise or foolish? Foolish. See what I'm talking about? You guys are wise. You already know the right answer. You already know what to do. And so the question that is incredibly important to us is, what is the wise thing to do? And the vast majority of us, we've just shown it. We already know what the wise thing to do is. So the problem is how come if we know what the wise thing to do, we still make stupid, foolish decisions? And that's what I want to talk about today. Because asking this question, what is the wise thing to do? It is a start in the right direction. But if you ask that question, but you're not willing to submit to it, you're going to make the foolish decision over and over and over again. And we're going to look at what is the thing that causes us to ignore wisdom? What is the thing that causes us to say, I know I shouldn't do that, but I'm going to do it anyway? And the answer is found by a guy in the ancient Hebrew culture. His name is Solomon. If you didn't grow up in the church, maybe you don't know who Solomon is, but Solomon is an incredibly famous person. In fact, people tell of his stories to this day because of his wisdom. Now, if you didn't grow up in the church, then you may not know this connection, but Solomon is the son of King David. And almost everyone, even if you didn't grow up in the church, we know who King David was. King David was the guy that fought the giant named Goliath. Six of you grew up in church. That's awesome. Goliath was this giant, and this little punk shepherd boy took him out with a slingshot, and David ends up becoming the king of Israel, and he becomes really, really famous, and he gets a lot of wealth and a lot of land, and it builds a castle, just has everything that we would think is awesome. And David has a son named Solomon. Now, David was incredibly popular. In fact, David's so popular. Just put this in perspective just for a second, okay? David, Jesus was around 2,000 years ago. David was around thousands of years before Jesus. How many people are we talking about still to this day that were around way back then in the ancient Hebrew culture? Not many. And yet we're still talking about David. Why? Because he was an incredible man who loved God. And David was incredibly popular. In fact, he was so popular, we're talking about him now. Well, David's son Solomon actually became almost as popular and well-known as David, which is pretty impressive. And the thing that made Solomon so important and so known about and sought after is he became the wisest man ever to live. And the way that he became wise is one day he has this vision where God talks to him and God says, hey, if I could give you anything in this world, what would you seek after? What would you want? What would you want me to give you? And Solomon says, wisdom. And God was impressed with his answer. Because Solomon could have said, hey, I want lots of property, I want lots of land, I want lots of money, I want fame, I want fortune. And Solomon didn't say any of that. He said, I want wisdom. And God was so impressed with that he actually gave him wisdom. And Solomon's wisdom became legendary. In fact, if you ever read through his life or read about Solomon, he became so popular and so wise that other nations, surrounding nations who normally were at war with Israel, would actually send delegates to meet Solomon to learn from his wisdom, to say, hey, what is your secret? You are so wise, we want to learn from you. So Solomon is an incredibly wise guy. In fact, we can still learn from Solomon by reading through some of the books which are in our Old Testament. He ended up writing three books. He wrote a book called Ecclesiastes. And if you are more of the skeptic in life, if you're a little bit jaded, if you've been burned by life, Ecclesiastes is your book. It is a great book for those of you that are more like pessimistic, because Ecclesiastes is written at the end of Solomon's life. And at the end of his life, he has gone through fortune and fame and relationships. And he looks around, he says, everything that I've sought after in my whole life is meaningless. Everything. I have millions of dollars. I have tons of fame. I have tons of fortune. And everything that I've sought after that everyone else says is worth something, it is meaningless. The only thing that has meaning in this world is a relationship with God. It's an incredibly tough letter to read. For those of us that are positive and optimistic, you're like, this shouldn't be in the Bible. This guy is so negative. But you get to the end and you're like, ah, okay, I see where he's going with this. Great letter to read. He wrote another book called Song of Solomon. Now, if you're not familiar with the Song of Solomon, let me just be as blunt as I can. The Song of Solomon is like reading a nudie magazine in church. It is inappropriate. In fact, the very first time I read Song of Solomon, I was in church. I was a middle school student. I was bored with what the pastor was saying, and I had my Bible open, and I just flipped open to books that I'd never read before, and I found this book called Song of Solomon, and I started reading it, and it started describing women's body parts as like gazelles and these fruits that I'd never heard of, and I was like, this is weird and awkward and fascinating, and I can't stop reading it. And I ended up getting the church giggles while reading Song of Solomon in church. Like, I couldn't stop laughing. It is a wild book. If you're of age, read Song of Solomon. He wrote another book, though, called Proverbs, and at least he wrote most of Proverbs. And Proverbs is amazing because it is a whole book of wisdom. And I wanted to give you the credentials of Solomon, because this isn't some guy who just cracked open a fortune cookie, as you know, just some easy wisdom. This is a guy who sought God and asked God for wisdom. And he had so much wisdom that the rest of the world took notice and came to him and said, hey, what is your secret? And so Solomon has some things to say to us specifically about why do we know what the wise thing to do is and yet choose to make a foolish decision. So let's look at what Solomon has to say. It comes in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. We're going to read one verse. You can follow along in YouVersion, or it's going to come on the screens. Solomon writes this: when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Now, we're going to spend the rest of our time breaking this verse down. And it is a short, simple verse. But the impact of it is gigantor. This is a verse that should and could radically change the way that we view things. And Solomon looks at life and he says, hey, listen, there are some times when we make really dumb decisions. And the reason we make those foolish decisions, it's not just because we don't know better. It's not because we don't ask what the wise thing to do. The reason we make dumb decisions is because of pride. And look at what he says specifically. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. In other words, he's saying when pride comes to visit you, when you let pride camp out in your heart, when you let pride camp out in your mind, it leads you to feel disgrace. Both disgrace with yourself, it leads you to say, why did I do that again? Why did I go there again? I know better. I shouldn't have done that. Why did I trust him again? Why did I spend my money like that again? It leads to disgrace, both with the inside, the way that you feel about yourself, and ultimately the way that you feel like others. There, anyone in life who has ever been caught in some big scandal, it wasn't one big decision that they made. It was a series of little decisions that led to them getting caught. And then everyone was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they did that. They felt disgrace. And if you've ever been in one of those situations where people said, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you got caught. People are talking about you behind your back. You know this. It started with pride. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. And I want to talk about this a little bit because I think that most of us in here don't really understand what pride is. In fact, just a few years ago, if you were to ask me about pride, I would describe pride as being more like arrogance. And to me, it is a huge turnoff. I can't stand when I see someone, they just walk into a room and they just say, I am the junk. I am the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. Like, I am better than you. Like, I can't stand that. It irritates me. And so I saw them and I said, I don't want to be like that. And so I viewed myself very differently. And so I wouldn't say that I am a prideful person. And that's where I think pride gets us. Because pride makes us think, well, if we're not arrogant, if we're not declaring that we're the best, then we must not struggle with pride. But I want to show you some lies of pride. These are some lies of pride, some things that you might believe about yourself. And these lies of pride will lead you to feel disgrace. They will block you from experiencing wisdom, and they will cause you to choose the foolish thing instead of the wise thing. If you're taking notes, this is a good place to start. These are the lies of pride. Number one, it won't happen to me. It won't happen to me. It won't happen to me is a vicious lie of pride. It looks at a situation and says, even though everyone else has fallen doing that exact same thing, it won't happen to me. Even though everyone else told me not to do it because they made a bad decision, it won't happen to me. I am too good of a person. I love God too much. I love my spouse too much. It won't happen to me. I think we start believing this lie of pride the second we become teenagers. I don't think, my kids aren't teenagers yet, they're 4 years old, so I don't think, at least at toddler age, you believe this lie, but I worked with teenagers for years, and I think the second you turn 13 years old, you start declaring, believing this lie. You believe, in fact, if you're a parent here, and your kid is a teenager, please do not roll your eyes or elbow them during any of this, because I know you've experienced this. And specifically, you've experienced where your kid has asked you, hey, mom, I want to do this. And you say no. And what do they say? It won't happen to me. I know you're worried, but you are overreacting, mom. Dad, you don't know. I know that happened to you. I know you're concerned about that. When you went to that party, that happened. When you went to that school, that happened. When you hung out with those people, that happened. But what happened to you will not happen to me. I'm a different person than you. Isn't that a question that teenagers say? Here's the problem, though. Even though most of us have grown on past being a teenager, we haven't grown up from believing that lie. And even as adults, we constantly tell ourselves, it won't happen to me. I know that guy had an affair, but it won't happen to me. I know they got pulled down by that substance, but it won't happen to me. I know they took long breaks from going to church and from plugging into the church, and it led to a bad decision, but that won't happen to me. I'm different, I'm special, I love God too much, I love my spouse too much, it won't happen to me. This is a lie that will completely destroy, it will completely destroy your life if you believe it. And I believe the reason this will destroy your life is because every single one of us are one step away from destroying our lives. I think every single one of us are one step away. We are literally one decision away, we are one choice away from destroying our lives. Now, I want to clarify something. You cannot destroy your life in the eyes of God. You can't do anything that's going to make God love you less or make God ticked off at you or make God say, I'm done with you, you're kicked out of heaven. You can't shake God's love. You cannot out-sin God's love. But isn't it true that there are some decisions that we make that have lasting consequences? Isn't it true that there are some decisions that we make that no matter how many times we've said, I'm sorry, no matter how many times we've tried to learn from it and move on from it, it has wrecked us. It has wrecked us in such a way that some of us are in counseling for decisions that we made years ago. Why? Because some decisions leave lasting marks on us. And some decisions that other people made on you or to you has left a lasting mark. And it may have happened to you when you were 13 years old. You're 36 now, and you are still wrestling with it. You are still seeking help. You still are wounded from a decision that someone else made. Decisions have consequences. And if you believe this lie that it cannot happen to me, you will find yourself in a situation that will have lasting ramifications. And it does not mean that God loves you less, and it does not mean that God is mad at you, but you're going to have to wrestle with some of the messiness and try to clean this whole thing up because your decisions have consequences. They have marks that can leave on us. And it starts with believing this lie of pride that says it won't happen to me. It leads to a second lie, and the second lie of pride is simply this: I can handle it. I can handle it. This lie of pride underestimates sin, and it overestimates our ability to handle it. It underestimates sin, and it overestimates our ability to handle it. We say things like, I can watch that, and it's not going to affect me. I can go there and hang out with them, and it won't affect me. I can go there, I can smoke that, I can eat that, I can drink that, I can spend my money in this way, and it won't affect me. I can handle it. I can handle it. Believing this lie will lead you to feel ashamed. It will lead you to feel this destruction that Solomon is talking about. And specifically, it will lead you to handle it because you underestimate the power of sin. In the moment when we make our, we say, oh, it's not that big of a deal. It is the next morning, though, that we wake up and we say, why did I do that? Why did I watch that? It was so not worth it. Why did I eat that? I threw away so much hard work. I've been working so hard to try to lose weight, and then I just gave in. Why did I do that? I could handle it. I thought I could handle going there. I thought I could handle being with that person. I thought I could handle that situation. I obviously can't handle it. I believed a lie of pride, and it caused me to feel some destruction. It caused me to feel some hurt and some pain. That leads to a third lie of pride, and the third lie of pride is it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal. This is the lie of pride that tells you because everyone else is doing it, it's not that big of a deal. It's just a white lie. Everyone does that on their taxes. Everyone cheats on this form. Everyone cheats on that test. Everyone's asking other people for answers. Everyone else cuts a corner in this way. It's not that big of a deal. This is a lie of pride because the way that you live your life is a series of tests. And every day you are passing or failing tests. And if you fail the little tiny test, guess what's going to happen when the big test comes your way? You have trained yourself to make the poor decision. And one day we're all going to be faced with a big decision. And no one just wakes up one day and says, today's the day I'm going to ruin my life. I can't wait. It's going to happen today. Ruining our life starts with a series of bad little decisions along the way where we didn't learn how to answer what is the wise thing to do. And when we make one bad decision after another, eventually it stacks up on itself and it leads to a huge, big mistake that we just say, what was I doing? Why did I go there? Why did I do that again? It is a lie that says it's not that big of a deal. And the truth is, it is a big deal. It's a big deal. Little decisions are a reflection of your character and who you are when no one is looking. That is your integrity. And are you making decisions that are reflecting the God that you serve? Or are you cutting corners when no one else is looking? It's not that big of a deal. It's a lie of pride. And that leads to the fourth lie of pride. And the fourth lie of pride is simply this: I don't care. I don't care. Now, the lie of pride that hits you when you say, I don't care, it comes when you are at your wit's end. When you are feeling extremely stressed or when you've been hurt really, really bad, it leads us to say, I don't care. It leads us to make decisions like, all of us have been there, where you start eating something, you say, I'm just going to have a little taste. And then before you know it, you've eaten the whole like gallon of ice cream and you're like, I don't care anymore. I just don't care. This feels so good to me. Or it's like if you are a guy and you've ever dealt with any type of pornography, if you've ever watched images on computers or on your phone or watched a commercial and you've believed this lie and you've believed a series of lies, said, hey, it's not going to happen to me, I can handle this. And then you say, eventually, if you make the same bad decision over and over again and you dabble in sin, eventually you just say, I can't beat this thing, so I don't care. It started with a few glances, but I'm just going to dive in right now. I'm going to go full force. I don't care anymore. And we say, I don't care when we've been hurt. We say, I don't care when we've been wounded. And we say, I don't care when we've been stressed. There are certain things inside of us that we desperately look for relief. And when we're feeling hurt and we can't find quick relief, we just say, I don't care. I know this is going to impact my future. I know I'm going to regret this one day, but I don't care. In the moment, this feels good, and in the moment, this is going to heal me, and this is going to make me feel better. But the truth is, it's a lie, because we do care. And the next morning, when you wake up and you say, why did I eat that? Why did I drink that? Why did I go there? Why did I make that dumb decision again? When we start wrestling with the consequences of our decisions, then we say, man, that was not the wise thing to do, but why was I so stupid in the moment? Why did I say yes when I should have said no? I don't care. Now, look at what Solomon says once again, because Solomon says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. There comes destruction. There comes this, when pride comes to visit you, when it sinks in your mind, when it sinks in your heart, if you believe it, if you believe these lies, eventually you will feel disgrace. You'll feel like this embarrassment of, man, I hope no one finds out what I did. I hope those pictures don't end up on Facebook. I hope no one sees or asks me about that. I hope I can get away with this because I feel disgrace. Even if I don't get caught, I feel some shame inside. I didn't feel shame in the moment, but I feel some shame now. And Solomon says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But, and this is a huge, gigantic but with humility comes wisdom. With humility comes wisdom. And you and I, if we start asking the question, what is the wise thing to do, but we don't have some humility, we will refuse the wise thing to do every single time. We will give in to what feels good in the moment, and we won't resist it based off what is the wise thing to do. Now, I think that we have misunderstood what humility is as well. For most of us, at least for me, when I would think of humility, I would often confuse it with insecurity. And I would see humility as, you know, just walking into a room and saying, man, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I guess I'll just go eat worms. Like, woe is me. I'm not very good at things. If you give me a compliment, oh, no. I'm the worst. Like, I'm not good. And we view this humility as this insecurity. And humility is not insecurity. Humility is looking at your strengths and finding some pride in your strengths, saying, I'm not the best ever, but I feel really good at what God has gifted me to do. But humility goes one step further, and it looks at your weaknesses, and it is honest about your weaknesses. So here's how humility works. In my life, I feel like I have the ability to communicate. That's why I do this for a living. And humility says, you know what? I feel like I'm a good communicator. This is what God has gifted me with. I'm not good at a lot of other things, and that's why I don't do those other things. I'm going to work on the things that I am good at because it is for the glory of God, and I want to make Him famous with the gifts that He's put inside of me. Do I think I'm the best speaker ever? No. Do I think I have something to learn from other people? Yes. But I can be confident that God has given me a gift. If you are great at cooking, when someone compliments you, don't you dare say, oh, no, this old thing, this is no good. No, you are insulting the gift that God has given you. If you are great at hosting people, when someone walks in your house and says, man, I just love your house, don't you dare say, oh, man, this house is a wreck. I haven't had time to clean it. You liar. You cleaned it for 2 hours straight. You know you're lying. If you have a great sense of fashion and someone says, man, you look so beautiful. Oh, this old thing. No, I don't. No, I just feel so fat. Stop it. That's insecurity. That is not humility. Humility knows what you're good at and embraces it. It also knows what you're bad at and embraces that. I'm not great at everything. And I'm humble enough to admit I'm not great at everything. I am good at some things. And humility is embracing wisdom. I love the definition of what humility is. Humility is a modest opinion of one's own importance or rank. Humility is a modest opinion of one's own importance or rank. So here's how this plays out. Humility is a modest opinion of your rank. It is walking into a room and saying, you know what, I am a pretty good speaker, but I could learn from these guys. It's walking into a room and saying, you know what, I am a pretty good cook, but I still have some room to learn. It's walking into a room and saying, I'm a pretty good teacher, I'm a pretty good parent, I'm a pretty good employee, I'm a pretty good boss, I'm a pretty good whatever, I'm good, God's gifted me at this, but I still have room to grow. When you are prideful, you view your rank as higher than it really is. And when you view yourself as the top dog, it means that you refuse to ask for help. That's what pride is. Pride is simply saying, you know what, I'm so good, I don't need to ask you for help. I don't need to ask your opinion on how I can become a better parent. I don't need to ask your opinion on how I can be a better spouse. I don't need to ask your opinion on how I can be a better employee. I'm good to go as I am. It's pride. And humility is looking at yourself modestly and saying, you know what, no matter how great I am at something, I still have room to grow. A lack of humility leads to disgrace. And I love this quote, this statement from Andy Stanley, who's a pastor and author. He says this, if you know what the wise thing to do is, and you choose not to do it, then you have proven you don't have your best interests in mind. Isn't that true? If you know what the wise thing to do is, and you don't do it, you don't have your own best interests in mind. If you say to yourself, I know I shouldn't eat this, but then you do it again, and you wake up the next morning, and you feel guilty, and you feel bloated, and you feel disgusting, why did I do this? You don't have your best interests in mind. When you went into huge credit card debt because you just couldn't wait to have that, and you needed it now, and you had to spend your money now, and then you start paying the bills, and you say, that was so stupid. Why did I do that? You didn't have your best interests in mind. Why did I go in that relationship? Why did I sleep with her? Why did I date him? Why did I go there? You don't have your best interest in mind. When we are faced with an immediate gratification, immediate temptation, we throw wisdom out the window. And we say, I want what I want, and I want it now. And I want you, because I'm Mr. Vain. Anyone? 1993? Google it, Mr. Vain. This whole idea, though, I love how Andy wraps up the quote. He says, so the question is, who does have your best interests in mind? If you've shown in your life that ultimately when you're faced with immediate gratification, when you're faced with a foolish decision and you want it right now, and you give into it, when we've all proven in our lives, based on our track record, that there are some areas where I'm foolish, when we've shown that, if we don't have our best interests in mind, the question we need to ask is, who does? Who does have our best interests in mind? I love how psychology and science has wrestled with this exact same thing. They call it something different than we do. In the Christian world, we call it sin, and we kind of understand that we wrestle with sin. But in psychology, they don't call it sin, and in science, they don't call it sin. But they've actually done studies on why you and I give in to instant gratification. Why do we say, hey, I really want this, and I want it now, no matter what it's going to do to me, no matter what the consequences are, no matter if it's not the wise thing, why do we give in to it? And science and the psychology community has called it the pleasure principle. It is simply this. It is the pleasure principle is the driving force of the id, which is not a typo. It is ID, the id, that seeks immediate gratification of all needs, wants, and urges. And the science community has actually taken human beings and put them through like a CAT scan and given them temptations and said, hey, I'm going to give you a $100 bill today, right now, or I'm going to give you $150, but you have to wait till next week. And when we are faced with a temptation of right now versus later, something goes off in our brain. It's like fireworks, and it's like, I want this now. I've got to have this now. And overwhelmingly, people choose the $100 now versus just waiting a week to get $150. Now, if we were giving advice to people, we'd say, no, don't be stupid. Just resist for 1 week, then you get 50 more bucks. But in the moment, something goes off inside our brain, and we say, I've got to have it now. And this is the reason why the wise choice leaves us in the moment. Because when we are faced with something that we want, especially when we are under stress, pressure, this immense, like, just, I've got to, I don't know how to solve this problem. I don't know how to solve what's wrong with me. So I'm going to make a decision now, even if it's not the wise choice. I'm going to eat that. I'm going to say that. I'm going to type this email in anger. I'm going to respond this way because it's going to help me feel a little bit better. In other words, the pleasure principle strives to fulfill our most basic and primitive urges, including hunger, thirst, anger, and sex. So what is that saying to us? That there are certain things that we have urges, and what are the things that get us in trouble all the time? It is anger, thirst, and sex. It is the things that we say, I'm not going to go there again. I'm not going to do that again. But we lose control. Why? Because there's something inside of us that wants what we want now. And so if you don't have your best interests in mind, the thing you've got to ask is, who does? Who's going to sit there with me and say, you know what, I love you so much. And even if you make this foolish decision, even if you go for it and everyone says you're a fool, you can't shake me. I love you so much. I'm going to be right here by you. But I want you to know that I love you too much to make this decision. So I want to encourage you. I want to tell you, hey, I'm right here with you. I'm going to help you make the wise choice. Who do you know that is in your corner that sees your best interest even when you don't? This is why personal trainers and working out are so effective. Because on your own, you'll cheat. On your own, you won't work out that hard. You need someone to push you and say, hey, this is not a cheat day. You got to work harder. You got 5 more push-ups in you. You've got 10 more sit-ups. You can do this. Why is that effective? Because we don't have our best interest in mind. We have what feels good right now in the moment. And if we have what feels good right in the moment inside all of us, we'll throw out what is the wise thing to do. So who in your life is looking out for you? Who in your life is saying, hey, I know you want to get away from him. I know you want to end this relationship, but that was the best relationship you were ever in. Who in your life is saying, hey, listen, I've been watching the way you've been spending your finances. I'm not judging you. We're still friends. You can spend your money however you want, but I just want to let you know, I feel like this isn't the wise choice for you. Who is pushing you to make a wise decision? Immediate gratification plus lack of accountability equals trouble. Immediate gratification plus lack of accountability equals trouble. Immediate gratification, saying, I want this now. I've got to have this now. I've got to look at this. I've got to go there. I've got to taste this. I've got to hang out with him. I need to spend my money this way now. Immediate gratification, which is in all of us, we would call it the sin nature, that immediate gratification that is inside of you, plus a lack of accountability without someone to say, hey, don't do this. This is not the best choice for you, equals trouble. And Solomon would tell us today that the reason that we do that is because we lack humility. We lack the humbleness to simply say, hey, will you help me? Here's the application for today. Humble yourself and ask for help. Humble yourself and ask for help. Now, this doesn't have to just be sin issues. If you have a sin struggle, if there's an addiction, if there's something that's causing you to trip you up, you need to ask for help. You need to ask someone, hey, I can't manage my finances, and I'm just a mess with it. Would you teach me how to do a budget? Or some of you, it's with your time. My time is a mess. I just can't manage my time. I see the way that you manage your time, and it is great. Would you help me learn how to manage my time? Or relationships. I keep ruining. I go from one relationship to the next. Can you help me better my relationship? Some of us need to ask that because those things are tripping us up. But others of us, we need to just admit that we're prideful in areas that we're good at. What if instead of just saying, you know what, I'm pretty good at my job, you found someone that was better at your job and you said, hey, would you spend some time with me and just coach me and just tell me some things that you think I could do better? Or what about with parenting? How prideful is it for new parents to not ask people who have already had their kids graduate from high school about advice? It is incredibly prideful to think that you can do it without any coaching or help. In our church, you guys don't know this, but I often ask other pastors from other churches to come be secret shoppers here. And they come and they go through our parking lot and they go through our greeters and they drink our coffee and they sit in the service. And then I ask them afterwards, what did I do wrong? What can I learn from you? What insight do you have? And I learn all sorts of things from them. Pride would say, no, I don't need to listen to you. My church is bigger than yours. I've been doing this for 18 years. I'm good to go as I am. But humility would say, no, I'm going to view my rank the way that it is. And every human being has an opportunity for me to learn something from them. So I'm going to be humble enough and ask them for help. So the application is simply this. Ask someone for help. Humble yourself and ask someone for help. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this day. And thank you for, God, the fact that you love us. And you love us despite the fact that we make foolish decisions. You love us despite the fact that we make mistakes. And God, I thank you that we can't shake your love from us. But God, you've also given us a brain and the ability to think. And so we just ask right now that you would allow us to think about what is true. And we would think about how often we make foolish decisions and how often we dismiss what the wise thing to do. And God, I just ask that right now you would give us a spirit of humility. That we would humble ourselves to ask for help. First of all, help from you. And secondly, help from others who can help us get farther and faster than we could ever get on our own. Help us to seek wisdom. Help us to deny pride and to stop believing the lies of pride. God, I thank you for what you're doing in our church and what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.